old faces, not chronologically speaking, and some new faces, but all family. And I'm truly thankful to be able to share the word of God with you today. Greetings from Raleigh, North Carolina, where 2 years ago, or 2 years on June 2nd, we rolled out of Fort Lauderdale and went up to Raleigh, North Carolina, not knowing what, not knowing how, but knowing who. Amen. And we're still going. We're still alive, and we're seeing God's faithfulness play out. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Matthew chapter 25. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand and we'll make sure that you get one as we study God's word. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to pick it up in verse 14. We're also going to be looking at John 14, 15, as well as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And Daniel chapter 1, starting in verse 8. Daniel 1, verse 8. So once again, those starting spots are Matthew 25, 14, John 14, 15, Ephesians 4, 11, and Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. And before we get into it, I again would just like to thank your pastor, Pastor Ryan, who is a good friend of mine. Over the years, we've seen quite a few things together. We've experienced life in ways that that most people would only imagine. And as you know, he's very gentle and calm and relaxed, but not really. But we share a love for combat sports and for MMA and wrestling, all of those good things. He's a good guy, and we continually keep up with each other. And he, before I left to go up, just kind of took me under his wing a little bit and said, "Hey, there's some things you got to know, man, is that you don't know anything. And the only thing you need to know is God. So stay with him, because there's no owner's manual for doing this thing. I don't care what they tell you." And he was very right about that. The owner's manual is God's word and his truth. And unfortunately, what in the world is going on down here? South Florida. Across the nation. I'm seeing the enemy have a field day with our people, and I don't like that. It's crazy. I was talking in the back before we came out, and I said, you know, it's kind of like, you know, those little zappers with the bugs that you put out, you plug in the glowing light. And you see the bugs zooming around, and, oh, man, I think I can get in. I think I can get to it. And they get in, and it's, and then, like, the other bugs see it, and, oh, shoot, don't go next to it. Don't get close to that light, or you'll get zapped, too. And then a year later, it's like, oh, look at the light. They forgot about the pile of bugs up under that light. They tried to make it, and it didn't make it. So I just share that from the heart, because as a leader, the target is big on our backs, and we need prayer. No one is above that. No one is beyond the attacks of the enemy. So please keep us in your prayers, and let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being here today. Lord, as we worshiped you, we felt your presence, and we continue to feel your presence here. And we ask that you would illuminate your word in ways that we have never seen before, and that we would not only be hearers of it, but doers, Lord. We pray that we would leave this place changed, leave this place different by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today's message is entitled, Use It or Lose It. Use it or lose it. And what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear that? Maybe it is your mind. Because sometimes when we don't use it, we lose it, right? But more than not, the first thing that comes to mind for me is our physical health, is our muscles, right? And you think about those of you who work out. When you go to the gym and you exercise, your muscles get bigger, they get stronger, and then you take a little break, you take a little siesta, and they shrink up, right? If you find yourself in that position and then you go back to the gym, it's not easy. It's a little bit harder the next time, and it's like, oh man, like, they're aching, they're hurting, because I have not been exercising those muscles. And atrophy kicks in. That's when they shrink on you. And as a matter of fact, it doesn't take a lot for that to happen. When I had surgery years ago on my knee, after a competition, I tore an ACL, and so I went in and had surgery on that to repair it. And the next day, my thigh and my quad muscle went. I was like, man, what happened? Did somebody like unplug me? You know? But atrophy kicks in and you're susceptible to attacks, not only physically, but spiritually. And so we're going to take a look at that today in Matthew chapter 25. And I've asked you to turn there and let's pick it up together and read verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Verse 22, he also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. Back to verse 14. Let's look at this a little bit closer. That's a lot of information to take in, especially as it applies to us. But verse 14, again, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Now, the first thing that I want you to consider is that this guy went on his journey, but Jesus doesn't leave us alone. He went on a journey to where? Heaven, to prepare a place for all of us. But he didn't bail on us. And I say this because I want you to have hope in that fact, especially if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As crazy as the world is right now, there's still opportunity for us to be used by him. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Do you love him? Do you love him? If you do, keep his commandments. How can you keep his commandments if you don't know his commandments? And how can you know his commandments if you don't open up the word, his word, study it, and apply it? It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." You see, we're not abandoned. We can't see Jesus physically, but we can see him amongst one another through obedience to what he's left for us to do through his word. You and I have the opportunity to be Jesus here and now, in this country, in this community. And what are we doing with that? Are we representing him well? Here's another thing that I want you to pick up on. All gifts are given. You see, this owner, he owned the land. He owned his servants. He owned the gifts. And he decided that one person was qualified to get 5 gifts or 5 talents. One was qualified for 2 talents. One was qualified for 1 talent. Does that mean the one with 5 was better than the one with 1? No, it doesn't. It just means that that's what they were capable of handling at the time. So one shouldn't look on at 5 and think, "Oh, he's better than me. He's got all of his stuff." What's that mindset? Jealousy, hating, because they have something that you don't have. And sometimes the person with 5 is looking on at 1. "Man, I wish I didn't have all of this responsibility. I wish I only had the little one thing." Be content with what God has given you for that time, because he's going to use it in just the right way, at just the right time, if you are ready to be used. In Ephesians chapter 4, I told you to turn there and look there with me in verse 11. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, I want to camp out there for just a moment, because I think sometimes we believe that the gifts are for us. "Man, God bless me with this talent. I can sing, I can dance, I can perform, I can fight, I can You fill in the blank. And it's for me. That gift is for me to get glory, for me to make money, for me to be rich and famous. And what does the word tell us? Those gifts are given for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Are you using your gifts and talents to equip the saints? Are you using your gifts and talents for the work of ministry? Are you? For the edifying of the body of Christ. So the things that you're saying and sharing, is it pointing people back to you, me, myself, and I? Or is it all about God? Giving God glory, helping people understand how much God loves them. Sometimes I wonder, as a Christian, have we gotten away from the basics? The basics. Look at the different categories and let's try and figure out where you fit in. Are you an apostle? Are you an apostle? One who was sent by Jesus, one who represents him. So often we go back to the original 12 disciples who were there, who were with him, who was sent out. And Paul, who was called by a risen Christ to go out and represent him. Is that you? Or are you a prophet? And I know most people think of prophets as, you know, these bold, in your face, I'm going to tell you the future, but they're really just telling the truth in the word and directly communicating it with an unabashed love for God. No compromise, given that warning and that hope of things to come. Is that you? Are you a prophet? Are you the one who will tell somebody the truth, even if it hurts the friendship, even if it causes a strain on your relationship, loving somebody enough to tell them the truth? Or are you an evangelist? Are you somebody everywhere you go, you gotta tell them about Jesus lovingly, communicate what he's done in your life and what he can do in their life? Are you that person who says, I just cannot contain the good news that God has given me? I have to pass it along. Some way, somehow, I'm gonna figure out a way to let people know who Jesus is, not only through my words, but through my actions, that he came, that he loved us, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the grave, that he overcame death so that we can live. He died so that we can live. Are you a pastor, one who ministers and provides spiritual care for a body? People have been entrusted to you. It doesn't matter what the world says, it's what God says and how God has anointed you. Are you flowing in your gifts? Are you a teacher who instructs line by line, verse by verse, and breaks down the word and helps others understand it? Do you have these gifts? And if you have them, are you operating in them? Or are you burying them? I hope we're not burying them. Back to Matthew 25, pick it up in verse 16. It says, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. In other words, he engaged with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But did you notice what's going on here? These guys had those talents, and like I said before, they had them because they got them from the owner. The owner gave them the talents. The owner gave them those resources. So we must be willing to receive in order to achieve. Those 2 servants with the 5 and the 2 talents received those talents. And now they were able to achieve something with those talents. You know, anything worthwhile starts with Christ. Anything worthwhile starts with Christ. As a matter of fact, think about it this way. I have a pen in my pocket. Now, if I said, hey, I'm going to give somebody this pen. I'm going to give you this pen. You want it? It's a pen, right? Okay, here's your pen.
You want me to take it?
I don't know. What do? When somebody gives you a gift, here's your pen. You want it? There you go. Enjoy it. No, keep it. Don't give it back to me. But that's what we do, right? That's what we do sometimes. God gives us a gift, and we're like, we acknowledge, hey, yes, that's a pen, and that's a nice pen, and it draws, you know, on paper when I use it that way. But until I receive it, I can't achieve anything with it. God's given us salvation. He says it's yours. It's yours. Here you go. And just like, what's your name?
Alexa.
She said, you want it back? No, it's yours. It's yours. God's given it to you. What are you doing with that gift? You can't enjoy the gift until you receive it. You can't write with it. You can't sketch. You can't draw. You can't do anything with it until you take it and use it. Salvation, same thing, the gift that God has given you. Now, your gift might not be my gift and vice versa. Stop looking at everybody else's gift. That's what got the person with one probably in trouble. He's looking on and saying, okay, again, those five and those two, I only got one. I don't like this kind of pen. I want a pen that clicks. They all write. You know, we get distracted. And the other thing that I want you to consider is that it's kingdom business first. What are you doing with those gifts? It's to start with the kingdom. Kingdom business first. What are you seeking first? Again, is it about you? Is it about your little empire? Is it about, hey, look, I'm going to build my business. I'm going to build all of these things that are going to give me pleasure. Because again, it's all about me. Or is it, Lord, how do you want to use this? How can I point people back to you with what you have given me? Because it's not me. That's what trips up so many people. You start believing the hype. I'm so good. I'm so cool. I got the thing. I got the it factor. And people are just blowing your head up like Dig Dug, that old video game. Bloop. Be careful. Be careful. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. One more time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What do? So often, especially in this culture, we seek those things first. And then we sprinkle on a little bit of righteousness, and the kingdom hopefully will come at the end. Totally flipped it, and it doesn't work that way. We want God to bless us with more when we're not using what he's already given us to do what he's called us to do and created us to do. Isn't that fascinating? Greedy. We want more, but we're not using what we already have properly. Make sure that when you come into that place of appreciation, thank you, Lord, for blessing me with life. I can think clearly. I can breathe. I can move. I can walk. I can roll. I can, wherever you're at, there's something to be thankful for, instead of just looking at what you don't have and not appreciating what you do have. We got to change it up. Back to Matthew 25, pick it up in verse 18. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, what's happening here? My question to you is, are you like this servant? Again, are you burying your gifts like that dog? You know, you've been given a bone and you buried the bone. You're not even, you forgot where you buried it. You're going back, hopefully trying to find that bone. I remember I had a dog, his name was Diesel, and I used to give him treats and he would go out in the yard and bury him and dig up my yard and mess up my sprinklers, cost some money. But then he would go back out there and try and find it and dig up the yard even worse because he forgot where it was. You know, don't be like Diesel in that sense. Make sure that you are taking the gift that God has given you and using it. You know, why would we bury the gift? Why? That's a important question to answer. Maybe for you it's because you're embarrassed. It's not popular to be a Christian nowadays. It's not a fun thing to stand up for Jesus and get punched or to get pushed over or to be bullied and intimidated because of what he stands for. And now you're standing for it and you're getting the same flack. You see, I think we're at a point in time in history where the rubber's going to meet the road and you're going to have an opportunity to see where you're really at. We haven't been really tested, but now we're in a point in time where we're going to be tested. And you don't have to be a jerk about your faith. It really just boils down to, hey, I'm loving God. And in so loving him, I'm trying to obey his word because that's what he tells me to do. That's it. I don't have to bash or condemn anybody to do that. I'm going to love. And if you want to know what I think and how I believe, here you go, right here. Here you go. But we got to know it, and we need to study it, and we need to be ready to stand for it if that's truly who you are. Are you embarrassed or ashamed? You know, maybe that servant didn't recognize the value of the gift that he was given. Maybe, he's looking at quantity instead of quality. Well, if I had more and more and more, then I could do more things. Man, God could use something small, real small, to accomplish great things. It's not the size that matters all the time. It's not the volume. It's the quality. It's the willingness to say, hey, use me, Lord. I know you can use a donkey. And I know you can use me. Use me, but am I willing to put myself in that position by obeying him? Or am I compromising? And maybe that's the other reason why he wasn't. Maybe he was compromising. Maybe you're compromising. Maybe you say, man, I can't really tell people about Jesus because I know I go to church on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, I'm out there. I'm out there getting jiggy with it and doing everything that everybody else is doing. So how am I going to tell them how good and how powerful Jesus is if my life is no better than their life? The rest of the week, I come to church on Sunday, hands go up, I got the movement down, I'm just, yeah, praise God, brother, I'm good, and the rest of the week, I'm not so good. What does it look like behind the scenes? What if we say, you know what, we're going to go, everybody after service, we're going to go over to so-and-so's house, and then as soon as we close out in prayer, amen. You look up, so-and-so's gone. So-and-so went home real quick, changed the stations and get all of that, those magazines and clean up. Is that your scenario? Is that your situation? Like, anytime somebody can show up, what does it look like? What are they hearing when they come up to your home? yelling, screaming, nastiness going back and forth. You're being just despicable person. Or do they show up at any time, spot check, the love of Jesus? Now, again, I know that we're wrapped in flesh. I know that we're going to have those moments where we come up short. But I also know that there's power that we don't plug into. There's power that we have access to that we don't even utilize. Why is that? It's like a vacuum cleaner. You know, certain vacuum cleaners are designed, they can suck up dirt and debris clear across the room. They're that powerful. But that vacuum cleaner has a cord, and it's usually about 8 to 10 feet long. And if you're vacuuming and it's doing a wonderful job cleaning the area that you're vacuuming, and you get to the end of that cord and it bloop pulls out of the wall, what happens to that vacuum? You just transformed it into a paperweight, right? Because it's no longer sucking up the dirt. Sometimes we find ourselves in those positions because what? Because we get beyond the length of that cord, what God's called you to do. And sometimes it happens in church. Sometimes we find ourselves doing a lot of good things, and those good things stop us from doing the best thing. And now we're burned out. Now we're tired, and we're, I don't know why I can't. And grumpy with the people that God's entrusted to us the most, and short, and just nasty, snotty with people. Why? Because we're doing things beyond what God's called us to do, maybe. And like I said, even good things. You have to discern what has God created and called you to do. Because there's going to come a day and time when we got to settle up. You see what happened in 19? After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The day is going to come when God is going to judge what we did with what he gave us. And you're going to stand in front of him and he's going to say, hey, dude, I gave you these talents. What'd you do?
Well, I was, you know,
Don't be that person. All right, back to Matthew 25, pick it up in 26 this time. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. See, I don't want you to miss this. Don't be the wicked and lazy servant, looking for the easy way out, passing the buck, shucking responsibility. But guess what? When you're standing in front of God, the buck stops with you. He's not looking for you to blame shit. Well, that spouse you gave me, they're the reason I acted the fool. They were defective. I was trying to fix them. They wouldn't listen. And God said, that's not your job. Well, you know, I live in South Florida. There's just too much temptation, just too many beautiful people around. Lord, you gotta do something about that. How you expect us to hold out? How you expect us to be, you know, be able to deal with that? It's gonna happen. No, it doesn't have to happen. We've been set free. We've been empowered to be different. To be different. Don't be that wicked and lazy servant who's playing the blame game, because God knows your heart. He knows why we do what we do. Even when everybody else thinks, oh man, that's such a commendable thing. And the slow clap happens from people when God is looking on and saying, you dirty dog, I know why you're doing that. And it's not for me, it's for you. He told him, dude, I gave you one talent, you buried it? You could have at least taken it to the bank, got some interest on it. Get interest, at least. You know, we need to invest for interest. And I think about, what does that look like? You know, not just in stocks and bonds, but what if we truly invested in people and each other? In each other. You know, at our church in Raleigh, our little catchphrase, if you will, is we're a church where the vertical and the horizontal lead to the eternal. If your vertical relationship with God isn't right, then how can your horizontal relationship with other people be right? And that's the problem when people look on and see the body of Christ acting like they're not a body, fighting, bickering, pointing fingers, attacking each other. Where's the love? Where is the difference? We don't see it. So why do we want what you say you have when what you say you have is not allowing you to be any better than us? Invest in people. It's a better return in the end. And it's funny because I coach kids over the years, and I see them growing up. I see them going away to college and doing different things and coming back around, and I'm still coaching them because they keep you honest. They keep you busy. They wear you out. You ain't got enough energy to do anything else after dealing with kids all the time. But I had a camp last week, and one of the guys who I worked with when he was about the same age as the campers came up, and I heard him telling these little guys, these little rambunctious 8, 9, 10-year-old kids who are running around doing everything like boys do, hey, listen, hey, do this, hey, do that. And I heard some things that I taught him when he was that age. And I kind of chuckled and I said, man, you actually listen. Because you were just like them. You were a little bit worse. And he said, yeah, coach, a few things got through. But that's investing. You know, he stayed with us for the week, and he saw, like, behind the scenes at our home and what life was like. And that's discipleship. You know, who's pouring into you, and who are you pouring into? Pouring out into. Helping. Not isolated. You know, and he saw the good, the bad, the ugly. He saw imperfection in our home. He saw me and my wife have some strong fellowship and work through it in a godly way. He saw our kids, you know, do things they shouldn't do, and us handle it and deal with it and pow-pows and all that good stuff. So, but are you investing with interest in mind, or is it just the here and now? Is it just, you know, I got to get what I got to get. I got to chase that paper. I got to make the green. I got to make the stacks. That doesn't satisfy. And in the end, what is it producing? Let's wrap it up. Back to verse 29 of Matthew 25. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant, underline that word unprofitable, or highlight it, into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You do not want to be in outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where you're sobbing uncontrollably. Imagine the worst pain that you could have. Where you grit your teeth and you're biting down because it's just so excruciatingly painful. And darkness, where there's no possibility for parole. There's no possibility for a redo. At that point in time, it's set, it's locked in, you're done. You're separated from God, and that's not the desire for anybody to have to be with or to be in that situation. And you have the key to share with somebody and prevent that from happening, and you choose not to because you are an unprofitable servant. You're not producing. You come and you consume without giving, without passing along, without pointing and helping. There's no compassion. You know, God blesses obedience. Did you know that? He blesses it. He makes a way. He did it for the Israelites. You know, he won't punish you for doing the right thing. As a good parent, if you ask your kid to do something and they do it happily and they do it with the right heart, all right, you did what I asked you to do. Okay, go into the bedroom. I'm going to spank you right now. Don't work that way. So if God is a great father, is the best parent there ever was, set the world record on goodness as a dad, then why would he do that? He won't. But we act like he will for some reason. You know, he makes a way. Look at the Israelites. Those guys were coming out of bondage, the heavy hand of oppression that Pharaoh had on them, mashing them. And he raises up a leader, Moses, and takes them out. And now they're trying to get away. They're trying to do the right thing. And boom, what's in front of them? Red Sea. Man, we stepped out. We tried to do it right. And now the army's closing in on us. It's not looking good. And God opens it up. There's a way. There's a way. There's a sea of resistance, of opposition coming, a tidal wave coming. And it doesn't look good. But stay tuned. Stay tuned. Because it's going to be nice. When you see God open it up and you get to step through on dry ground, when everything else around you is like, whoa, whoa, can you believe it? How is that possible? I think about Daniel, and I told you to mark that place. Go with me to Daniel chapter 1 and look at verse 8. Here's the secret. You ready for this? Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart, underline that, purposed in his heart, that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Wow. Now, you read through the rest of the chapter and the rest of the book of Daniel, and you'll see that this was a guy who God used in a mighty way. Why? Because he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies. Here's a guy who was thrust into a situation where a conquering nation took over his country and said, hey, Daniel, you look like you might be A-type material. We're going to bring you in and hook you up with the best of the best. You get VIP access card to everything. And Daniel said, hey, I'm purposing in my heart not to defile myself with the king's delicacies. I know I can go to this place and to that place. I know I can have this kind of food and that kind of drink. I know I can have it all and enjoy what everybody else was like, dude, are you crazy? You can do all of those things and you're choosing not to do those things because he knew that that would defile him. He knew that that would cause him to compromise and misrepresent his maker. Are we willing to do the same thing? Are we willing to dare to be a Daniel, especially in the culture that we're living in right now? You know, just because you could doesn't mean that you should. We could do this thing. We have the freedom to do that thing. Well, you know, come on, man, that's old. That's archaic. That's how they used to do it. No, that's how the Bible says we should do it. And that's what God's people should do. Unprofitable servant is not the label you want to have attached to your back checking out of life. You don't want to be that person. We want to be the one who is ready, who is willing. So as we wrap up, I want you to consider that you use it or lose it, because gifts are given for a reason and not just for your enjoyment only. Yeah, you can enjoy it along the way. You're going to have some fruit that comes from it that you can, you know, have fun with, for sure. But make sure you're glorifying Him and leading others to heaven because of those gifts. And then use it or lose it, because unused gifts are buried. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants you to bury your gifts because you're fearful, because you're compromising, and you're scared that somebody's going to call you out. Mr. Christian, Miss Holier Than Thou, Miss Bible Thumper. Look at you. You zip past me on I-95 going 80, flying fish on the back of your car. Uh-huh. Unused gifts are buried through disobedience. Don't find yourself in that position. And then use it or lose it, because God will fulfill His will with or without you. Remember that song? With or without you. He's going to do what He's got to do. So why not put yourself in a position where He can use you as a vessel of honor instead of a vessel of dishonor? The choice is yours. I don't know about you. I'd rather be like the dish that holds the candy, you know, in the house versus the toilet bowl. There's vessels. You got to flush. You got to flush the not so good stuff out. And God's going to use you based on how you choose to respond to how He's designed you. Use it or lose it. And I just want to close with this last little thought. I learned a while ago when I was in college how to play racquetball. And so I used to play it a little bit. I thought I was all right. And picked it up when we moved to Raleigh, North Carolina, at the YMCA that we're a part of. And so I had four guys that I would play with and on one court, and then there was these four other guys that were playing on another court, and they were older. So my guys and I, we were in there hitting it around and just playing consistently every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at like 6 a.m. And my guys started getting hurt, breaking down. And so it was just me left. I don't know if it was a result of me or they just were getting worn out. But so they were done, and I was still wanting to play racquetball. So the other group of four let me come and play with them. And I was like, these old guys. Okay, I'm going to go over here and just thump them. So I went in and played with the first guy, and he beat me like 15-2. Old guy. And I'm going to use my athleticism. I'm going to move and get to the ball. And he's just stood in the middle. Bing, bing, bing. He was like Yoda, you know, swinging his lightsaber racket. So I'm like, hey, I'm huffing, puffing, trying to keep up with this old guy standing in the middle. And one time he hit the ball, and I thought I was getting to it, and it rolled back. And I slid and fell and looked up, and he was there like. So God humbled me. Teach me your Yoda, your ways. No, but kept playing with them. And it was, again, about three or four guys. And when I was playing with my guys, we never wore goggles. We never, you know, we just went in and played. I had a cap, and that was enough for me. And so these guys would suggest, and hey, you know what, you probably need to wear some goggles. I'm like, man, I'm a man. I don't need no goggles. What's the problem? If I hurt my eyes, I hurt my eyes. And so one person said it, next person said it, another person said it. I just kept playing. I'm like, I don't get hurt. I'm good. So I came a morning after all of them had said something individually to me. And I was ready to play. I got on the court, ready to play. Y'all ready? Yeah. And they said, hey, we're not going to play with you until you get goggles. And I'm like, what? Come on. He said, we love you. I said, but I'm not scared. I'm not worried about getting hurt. He said, we don't care about that. You know, just because you're not worried about getting hurt doesn't mean that we're going to accept responsibility for hurting you. And they wouldn't play with me. I'm like, come on, man. And one guy had an extra pair of goggles, and he gave it to me. And I, all right, put on my goggles. And you know what? That was the best thing that I could have done. Put on those goggles, because probably about a week or so later, I got hit in the side of the face. And that could have hit my eye, and I'd be looking at you with a patch right now, you know? But I share that with you because we're family. And they were willing to stand. They were willing to use their collective influence to affect change in my life. And it protected me. It helped me. And you guys can do the same. We can do the same as a Christian body. Hey, you know what? We love you, but we know you're not wearing your goggles. We know you're not following the safest route. So we're not going to support that. We're not going to help you put yourself in danger by compromising. We're not going to help you find yourself in a position where you're going to be lamed or maimed for life. But we love you, and when you're ready, we're moving this way, and we're going to keep playing. And you're more than welcome to join us again when you're ready to do it the way the Bible says to do it. Again, not being legalistic, not being heavy-handed and forcing, but this is how we're going to do our life. This is how we're going to do it, and we're going to encourage each other to do it the same way. Now, if you're struggling and if you're having a hard time with something, we'll walk with you. We'll help you. Maybe you can't afford goggles. We'll come alongside and make a goggle foundation. And help people who can't afford goggles to buy goggles. But if you're purposely saying you're not going to wear goggles, then you got to find another group. And I think if as a whole, as a church body, if we did more of that, we would see God show up and show off in our lives. So let that resonate with you. And one of the things that we also do up in Raleigh, it's a little bit different, is I'm going to challenge you to take a moment to reflect. And I want you to write down what the key point of the message was for you. I want you to write it down or type it in your electronic device. Then I also want you to write down how you can apply it practically this week. Whatever that key point is for you, write down how you can apply it practically this week. And then I want you to write down who can help you do it. Who can help you do it. So take a moment And we're going to have the worship team or the worship, a worship song played during this time while you're reflecting. And then we'll come back and close out with prayer. Father, thank you so much for investing in us, for demonstrating your love for us through the ultimate sacrifice, Lord. You stretched out on that cross and paid the price for our sins, and we don't ever want to take that for granted. And today, you have revealed to us some things that we look forward to implementing in our lives as we move forward. And as we're still in an attitude of prayer, I just want to open it up to someone here today who has not started that journey, who has not even began their walk with the Lord. You hear the words that were shared. You feel the Spirit moving. And your desire is to begin a real relationship. You're like that servant who had no connection, who has buried your gifts up until now. And so I want to give you the opportunity, while all eyes are still closed and all heads are still bowed, to make a decision to invite Jesus into your heart. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and you just repeat that prayer if you're ready, if you're willing. Just say, "Dear Lord, I confess that I have sinned, and that because of that sin, I am separated from you. But today, Lord, I open my heart and I invite you to come in and be my Savior and to be my Lord. And I pray, God, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to do what I cannot do in my own flesh and strength. Lord, thank you for paying the price and the cost to be the boss of my life. I choose to follow you today. In Jesus' name." Now again, while all eyes are closed, while all heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you really meant it, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're at. Raise your hands. You just prayed that prayer. I see that hand. I see those hands. I see you. God sees you. Hey, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to challenge you and ask you. There's going to be some leaders up front here after service. You who prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to make your way up to the front and just share with one of the leaders here at Calvary Chapel Deerfield what happened between you and God. And the rest of the body here just wants to applaud your decisions. That's awesome. That is some real good news happening. All right, so as we wrap up, who has a key point they want to share?
God blesses obedience.
God blesses obedience. All right. And how can you apply that practically this week?
Follow his word.
Follow his word. And who can help you do it?
Jesus.
Yes, he always helps us do it. Anybody locally? Your wife. All right, awesome. Anybody else? Damon. Got a key point?
Who's pouring into you and who are you pouring into to not be an unprofitable servant?
Who's pouring into you and who are you pouring into to not be an unprofitable servant? How can you apply that?
Get filled first. Make sure I'm getting my quiet time.
Get filled first. Make sure you're getting your quiet time. Wife can help you with the accountability, and yes, she will. All right, cool. I want to leave this section now. Shelly, how are you? Key point?
The key point was use it or lose it.
Use it or lose it.
And the way I'll implement that is I will purpose to be more active and passionate about discipling and showing others God's promises and gracious love.
Wow, more passionate about discipling others. And showing God's promise and love. And who can help you do that?
Well, I fully rely on God.
God, and whoever else, and your amazing husband. It's nice to be an amazing husband, huh? How do we get there? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being so good to us. And Lord, we're not scared of what's happening around us, Lord. We have opportunities to be lights for you. And we are so thankful that you allow us to be on your team and your family, the winning team, the winning family. Lord, help us to be as compassionate for others as you were for us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.